Today we have myself, Aaron Augustus. I'm hosting the call. I'll be the narrator and just kind of making sure things move along here. We've got Michael Krawitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access joining us from Virginia. And we've got Patrick Seifert from 22 Too Many from Olympia, Washington. And then we've got Jeff Staker from Hoosier Veterans for Medical Cannabis in Indiana. We also have Ryan Miller on the line, I believe, from Operation EVAC in San Francisco Bay Area. So some of the things that we want to get started with, and I have the agenda here. We don't have to go in any particular order, but I know a big topic right now is the Veterans Equal Access Amendment and what has been going on there. And so Michael Krawitz has, we talked yesterday, he's going to go ahead and give us kind of a background outline of how of where the amendment is and how it got to where it is right now. Michael, could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Trying to think of where to start. I think the best place to start would be even before the Veterans Equal Access Amendment was put in. Just to let everybody know that this flows from the guidance of the General Counsel of the VA, where they had spoken with the DEA back in like 2007, something like that, in answer to a bunch of questions from a bunch of VA officials who were working in states that had approved medical marijuana, and they wanted to hear, you know, what the General Counsel said, you know, the legalistics of it. And the DEA at that time, if you remember, was threatening doctors. They had gone out, General McCaffrey went out to California and, you know, called the doctors out there Cheech and Chong medicine, and he was going to shut them down. And a doctor's group working with the ACLU sued them proactively and won. It's called the Conant versus McCaffrey, later Conant versus Walters case. And that established the right, you know, it really it didn't establish it. I mean, it made it very clear to everyone that doctors did have the right to recommend cannabis. And a little point, you know, that cannabis in the many states where it's legal for medical marijuana under state law, the doctors do not prescribe cannabis. They can't take out a DEA-controlled prescription pad and write cannabis on it without the DEA's permission first. But they can recommend it, and that recommendation, even the documentation associated with it and the forms to fill out to get you you know, into a state medical marijuana program is all considered to be free speech. And we decided to, you know, to fight for that, you know, rather than trying to fight for the doctors, because we really didn't know any doctors in 2007 or 8 that wanted to fight. In fact, to this day, we haven't met any doctors that really wanted to fight inside the system. But on their behalf, we wanted to make sure everybody understood that here was a crazy instance where the VA doctors lack of free speech. And you have to realize federal government officials lack free speech. You have to realize that generally they don't have the same free speech as a federal employee. That's a little thing that most people don't know. In this case, it was the first one that I've ever seen where that free speech came up as a problem for VA doctors. We established it, really went out there, mostly educating people about that, you know, recommendation versus prescription and the whole nuanced thing about the Conant case and all that, the free speech aspect of it. And we were pretty successful. We got the attention of Congress a few years back. They passed into a bill. This notion became the Veterans Equal Access Amendment, and essentially what it does is it shows the VA that indeed the Congress feels that the law is that they do have this free speech, and they do have this right to recommend cannabis, they do have this ability to fill out forms. And the way that we've found to do that is in a budgetary bill. And the budgetary bill process is really confusing as well, because you have to get it into the House, you have to get it into the Senate side, and then you have to get it through the final budget process and signed by the President. So it's like as many as 8 different votes we've had in a year, and we've won a lot of them, and really confused the hell out of people. Just to make it that much worse, last year we really did succeed. We actually won in the House and the Senate. It went to a conference committee, and the blasted handful of congressmen in that conference committee stripped it from the final bill. So again, all this is doing is making it clear to the VA, because there was never that Conant case. It was a West Coast case. The Supreme Court never accepted it. There was never a federal case or a federal guidance to tell the VA that indeed that threat from the 2007 or whatever was not valid, and that they didn't face arrest for recommending cannabis. The war has never been kind of ended inside the VA. So that's the whole point of this bill. Now, more recently, we've run into even a greater craziness because this process by which the congressmen really have found the ability to control and to, you know, use their authority to, in the checks and balances of our government appropriately to, you know, rein in the DEA, you know, change behavior, change federal law. They've been, our side, our people that have been trying to do this in Congress, our congressmen that we're working with, have been thwarted at even getting a bill on the floor. The leadership is all real hardcore drug warriors. They just won't let you even have a vote. And this budgetary process has been one of the only games in town to get anything done in terms of policy. It's what's protected us in the medical marijuana states with the, you know, the Hinchley-Rohrabacher Amendment, which did just pass and did just go, you know, all the way by the Senate. So we're really happy about that. Hopefully that'll, you know, give us some additional protection and keep this ball rolling in that court. But as far as this Veterans Equal Access Amendment goes, the Rules Committee actually changed the rules on the bloody amendment and made it impossible for the House to even have our amendment, our Veterans Equal Access Amendment, even put into the process. So we did get a Senate vote. We got a successful Senate vote, but we're not going to even be able to get amendment into the process. They blocked all those kind of amendments. A handful of amendments like that were blocked, not just ours. And it's really shitty. It's really something I think is you know, portrays of much bigger problems that they've got in the House in terms of trying to fight with each other over turf and over control. And it's, you know, really, I think, pretty clearly cutting off a channel that these congressmen have figured out to get things done. But we have this Senate bill, and it's actually, I think, now going to, you know, go back to that conference committee. The conference committee, I think, is going to be a different composition. And we put a lot of pressure on them over the last year, not real, you know, straightforward cutting-edge pressure, but we did put a lot of pressure on them, and it is actually possible that this conference committee with just a one House bill and no Senate side might actually still put it in the final bill that gets signed by the president. So we might actually win this thing, even though we've been, you know, essentially hobbled. But I think that's the rundown of it. If any of it was completely confusing, let me know, and I'll let you explain it.
And unfortunately, we have to go through this each year. Which is
We have to go through this each year to try to get it passed. But this particular effort, once we get it passed, will change VA policy permanently.
This year, this current year.
If we get it passed and we get it through the final budget vote, there's no money involved. It's actually a policy change, and we're changing, mm-hmm. you know, congressional U.S. federal law policy and making it clear to the VA this is the new policy. The VA, I believe, is sitting on a medical marijuana policy waiting for this to pass because they're just afraid. They, without any real clear guidance, they don't have any ideological position here. I don't think they're ideologically against the doctors inside the VA filling out these forms. They are honestly scared that, you know, without guidance, you know, they are right down the hall from the DEA, you know?
Right. So what's the next I mean, what's the next step for the Veterans Equal Access Amendment? I mean,
back to the conference committee. As soon as we can identify the conference committee and try to get them to, you know, vote it in and keep it in. And it wouldn't hurt for us to go after some of these folks in the Rules Committee and try to, you know, go to the bottom of that rabbit hole as well, like Al Burns' name 'em and shame 'em kind of idea.